welcome to the Astroholic Explains, exploring the universe one question at a time with Dr. Alfredo and Chris Carpinetti.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Astroholic Explains with me, Chris.
And me, Alfredo.
So we started this series by talking about the JUICE mission.
Yes.
Which linked to you making mocktails.
Yes.
Which is very, very exciting.
Yes.
However, I would like to have us today do a little throwback to the early days of the Astroholic.
Yes.
And I would like to talk about cocktails.
Yes.
In space.
In space. Where in space?
How about on Mars?
Okay.
Would we be able to grow ingredients to make cocktails on Mars?
That is a fascinating question. Well done, well done. So that is super cool. There is a lot of research going on what kind of plants and organisms we could grow on Mars for sustaining our human exploration there.
And just dive straight into what alcohol could they consume?
Yeah, but this is a fun experiment to think about. What kind of things can you grow? Because here on Earth, we have been so creative in our domestication of organism, but also our non-domestication. We use a lot of wild stuff. So even though probably for many, many generations, it's not going to be the creation of alcohol or cocktails or mocktails or whatever on Mars, I think you can still learn a lot by joking on this question. And I know somebody that could help us answer this. So we have a special guest for this episode. Thank you, special guest, for joining us. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, of course. So I'm Dr. Laura Fackrell. I am a postdoctoral researcher at Jet Propulsion Lab with NASA currently, as working on a project there. And that project is a project that involves growing plants in the moon and looking at nitrogen cycling and legumes and all sorts of fun stuff.
That is fantastic. And you are the perfect person to let us know, to tell us what is exciting and what is important about trying to grow plants on other worlds in the solar system.
Yeah, so that is a huge challenge. Plants have evolved to grow in this really nice environment that we have here in the soil with all these microbes. With nutrients in that soil, and this environment that they've literally evolved to grow in. But then suddenly you shift off world. So we have right now the most relevant examples are the moon and Mars, are the kind of the two people are pushing for. And those are very different from the environment plants are used to, whether it's because there are certain nutrients lacking or because the nature of the material is not the same as the nature of material plants are used to. And so there's a lot of challenges. So plants have a hard time penetrating their roots into some of these materials because they're so heavy and dense. There's not much organic matter that can help to support that texture. So that's there's a lot of different challenges, everything from the actual materials itself that you would need to use to the fact that you're lacking an entire environment to the technology and the expense it takes to do that are all kind of different. There's lots of different aspects. So I specialize more in the actual soil part of it. So
wow. That's amazing. Talking about sort of the environment that these plants would have to grow in, how do we simulate the sort of soil or ground that we'd experience on Mars or on the moon? What do we base it on?
So we base it on, we have to base it on what we have available. So we have data from Mars and we have data from the moon and it's some asteroids too that you could potentially start exploring that avenue. But you base it on what we know about the mineralogy and the chemistry of those materials. And you have to make something that's accurate for those things that you care about. So a plant is not going to respond to the same things or need. So you have to create a material that can simulate characteristics important for plants. And so that's kind of a lot of what I've done in my work is trying to create materials or at least explore materials and see, okay, are the characteristics here, do they match the characteristics of the moon and Mars, for one, so that it's accurate? And then two, are those particular characteristics ones that plants need to worry about? Because a lot of times you can't create a perfect simulated material. We just have to bring it back with us, but that's really difficult to do. But you can focus on specific characteristics that are important for your particular study.
Very, very, very interesting. And there are, I think, multiple ways why creating such soil and studying what kind of plants can grow on the soil is important. Could you tell us some of this reason? Why do we want to find out what we could grow on the moon, Mars, or asteroids, etc.?
Yeah, I think a big part of it is just it creates additional ways of doing it. So a lot of plants you can grow hydroponically, and you wouldn't necessarily need soil for that, so to speak, because you can grow them without a soil or even a soilless media. So you can grow them in different ways, or aeroponics, where you just kind of spray the roots with a nutrient. And there's different ways that you can kind of hack the system, so to speak. But not all plants adapt well to those systems. One, and then two, those systems require a lot of maintenance. And if the system fails, the plants are affected very quickly. So that can, and those are two of the reasons that kind of are downfalls in those. But a soil-based system, or even a soilless media system, creates a little bit of a buffer. So if one of your parts of your system fails, the plants don't respond quite so fast. So you have time to kind of save them a little bit more. And also there are certain types of plants that would grow better. And some of those plants are plants that could be really advantageous to grow for food, like legumes. So that's like beans and peas and things. Might do better if you had some kind of growing medium that allows it to have that place where it's used to growing, and that helps it to link to the microorganisms like the bacteria and stuff that are helpful to plants. So that can be really helpful to have just more than one option, so you can tailor your system to what you're trying to grow, and it gives you more diversity, and that's more sustainable.
Wow, that is absolutely fascinating. I was reading, and correct me if I'm wrong, that a lot of discussion on, especially on the subject of Mars, and there's a lot of people that are interested in seeing that also as a way to do better agriculture on Earth, because obviously Mars is, well, a frigid desert. So if we can build something up there, we can do something like better agriculture here on Earth.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that is, if we can figure out how to do something on Mars, and all that technology, all those efforts can help apply here on Earth. We have a lot of those same efforts, and it goes back and forth. So a lot of the efforts we use to try to grow things more sustainably here also help with figuring out how to do it on Mars. Salt is a really good example. So there's a lot of areas in the world that struggle with high salinity in the soil or in the irrigation water. And so that's really hard to grow when you have a lot of salt. And there's different ways to get rid of it, but a lot of those use a lot of water. And so it's just hard. Those kind of systems are really hard to manage. And then we figured out a lot of techniques to do that here on Earth. And so we can help adapt those to what you would see on Mars. But also what we figure out in these closed environments on Mars could trade back and say, here's a more efficient way to do it here too. I think it also creates a culture of it. So like the actual social support of it. I think when you have something exciting, like growing a plant on the Mars, it makes people more invested just in themselves. So they're more likely to invest in things that can help Earth. I think so. Even the trade back, just like the mental side of it, because there's a lot of technologies that are really innovative in agriculture that have come up recently that have helped to address these sustainable issues. But sometimes it's hard to get access to them if you live in an area where it's just like it's too expensive, or like in an urban food desert is a common type of thing where it's like people just don't have access to fresh foods. Even though there's tons of fresh foods in the world available, they don't just have access. And so how can you create excitement that would help to create access in ways that don't necessarily have to do with the technology itself, but just the acceptance and the funding and the willingness to do it?
Wonderful. For this question, we're going to have a little bit of a throwback to the origins of the Astroholic podcast blog, because it really started out as Alfredo's love child of astronomy, astrophysics, and delicious drinks. So I'd love to know, what ingredients could we grow on Mars or the moon that we could use to make cocktails or mocktails?
So I thought this was a really fun question when I was thinking about it. And so one of the things we thought of is one of the things that's really, I actually asked my coworkers this too, because I thought they would also enjoy the question. So we kind of came up with a group answer where we're looking at a mocktail on Mars. Well, one of the things that is really common on Mars that people look at trying to grow that would be part of bioregenerative food cycling and like all the system is actually algae. And so we looked up what was a spirulina, or an algae is a type of algae, spirulina powder mocktail or cocktail. And so you want first the algae, so you have to grow that on the actual regolith, on the simulated, on your regolith material. But then if you think about it, you don't have any of the ingredients. You can't just go to the local liquor store and pick up your vodka, or like go to Walmart or whatever. And so you have to grow every single part of this mocktail. So it can't just be a garnish or something that you need ingredients for. You need ingredients for the whole thing. And so the spirulina powder comes from the algae. You have to process that. And then you can maybe grow beets for a source for sugar. Mm-hmm. Potatoes, obviously, for Mars is the classic, what you would grow on Mars. And there you have some vodka. And then the trickier part probably is if you wanted to do like a flavored liquor or something to give it some flavor. But maybe some strawberries might be able to make something like that, because that's like small enough that you could grow it. And if you wanted to do it as a mocktail instead, that's my preference for me. you could use carbon dioxide, which is on Mars, and you could use the water that you're going to have in your system, because you have to have the water, maybe make some seltzer water. And there you go.
That is very interesting. You see, I do like that idea, and I will most definitely gonna try to make a version of your cocktail and mocktail for when this podcast is out. And I do, the only thing I was wondering is, I am very partial to citrus. How difficult would be to, apart, obviously, you need the space and probably a lot of water to grow a tree.
Yes, and so given space and water, but there are some citruses where the trees are pretty small. So you can grow a lemon tree and it's not super large.
Okay.
But it would probably take a lot of water still, because those are heavy water plants. So there are techniques where those can be grown hydroponically, but I think that'd be a lot more difficult to adapt to space, at least at first. Okay. But I think eventually, if you're expanding these systems, I think there's a way you could do it.
So what I'm hearing is we know that there is quite a fair bit of water on the moon.
Yeah.
We need to find a big water resource on Mars, and then I can have your cocktail or mocktail with a nice slice of lemon.
There you go.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Laura, for taking the time to talking to us about your fantastic research on simulated soils of other worlds in the solar system. And thank you to you and your team to come up with this fantastic cocktail and mocktail recipe.
Thank you so much.
Perfect. No problem. Thank you.
Thank you so much to our special guest. That was really cool.
Yes, I will try to make these suggested cocktails. I will share the recipes as well.
And I will let you know what I think of them.
Good. All right, thank you for joining us on another episode of The Astroholic Explains.
Thank you so much, and we will see you next time.